Well, welcome, Anne Tomlinson. This is our very first podcast where we're talking to the innovators and creative thinkers in the aging space. And creativity and thinking outside the box is very much where we try to be. So it's my great pleasure to welcome you to our little podcast, Anne.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's begin with a little bit of history. There are two sides to your work. One is providing a sort of mentoring and caregiving navigation system for people who are in the caregiving situation themselves, and also you have established daughterhood. So let's take each one singly. Let's start first with the consulting work that you do and how Anne Tomlinson can help.
Sure. Well, actually, the consulting work that I do is more on the, I work with the providers of care delivery. And so I began my career about 20 years ago working on aging issues and healthcare delivery and financing. And so, you know, what I do through Anne Tomlinson Innovations is I provide advice and support to organizations that want to innovate and change, really dramatically change the way that they operate their businesses, you know, to deliver a much better product to frail older adults and their families. So we're all about, you know, kind of developing new ideas that help providers such as assisted living facility organizations, home health, nursing homes, aging services organizations, hospitals, health systems, managed care organizations, you name it, foundations, you know, so that's sort of that's the group of people that I work with on the Anne Tomlinson Innovation side. On daughterhood, what we're doing is we're working directly with families to provide information, really more than anything, a community, a place to come together to talk about the issues that they're dealing with in navigating the system for their families.
Okay, so let's get back to innovation in a moment. Let's just extend for the moment on daughterhood. Tell me how that's growing and what kind of traction you have with a growing group of female caregivers.
Sure. So, you know, we started a few years ago creating a blog. So it started with a blog where, and the goal of that was to share the information that myself and my colleagues have from, you know, years and years and years and years of working directly with providers and with the healthcare system. Our goal is, can we translate this information that we have, this expertise, into something usable for family caregivers? And I think actually what ended up happening was almost the opposite, which is that I ended up learning a lot more about the care delivery system from our readers than they probably learned from me. But In the process of writing and getting comments and getting emails and beginning to build a readership through social media, through internet searches, people coming to the website and emailing us and things like that, we realized what we were really doing was creating a community. Mm-hmm. And very organically, we had an individual based in San Diego reach out and say, hey, you know what? This is great. We love what you're doing. We'd like to bring this to our community locally. So how can we create almost like a daughterhood community here in San Diego? And so what we ended up doing was we ended up creating our very first daughterhood circle. So what daughterhood has really turned into now is a grassroots community building organization. We have daughterhood circles now kind of all over the United States. It just, you know, very organic. People reach out to us. They want to be leaders. We do leadership training and support the work that they're doing. And that's how we, and that's really what's growing.
And what is it about the concept of daughterhood that seems to strike a chord for people?
That's a good question. Well, I think it's that the word itself and the way that we write about the experience and the way that we talk about it in our community is that this is not something that anybody really ever expects. Note, even though maybe rationally in your mind, you know that at some point your parents are going to need care, or maybe that your, you know, spouse will get sick. I mean, these things happen to people, but nobody ever really wants to accept that this is happening until it happens. Then when it happens, they realize, oh my gosh, I'm in a whole nother phase in my life. So I think daughterhood for them just really embodies this idea that at some point in your life, you're going to end up in a completely different role than you ever imagined yourself in.
And how do you see men playing a role in this environment?
So that's, so first of all, we talk about this a lot. Daughterhood is for men too. And we have a lot of men who are part of our, who write to us or who, subscribe to the blog or participate on the Facebook page, and men do, many men are doing enormous things in the lives of their loved ones for providing caregiving. The reason why it's called daughterhood is because you're coming up against a whole bunch of systems that don't work. The healthcare system is broken. There's no long-term care system to speak of. It's impossible to find information and resources. It's just, you're in the Wild West. And what we've discovered is that culturally, women come up against that system and they blame themselves. So they feel like, a man encounters a healthcare system that is broken and he says, wow, that's a broken system. And a woman encounters a broken system and she says, oh, somehow I failed. And so a lot of what daughterhood is about is this really isn't their failure, that they really are doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally get that. I think it's a bit like the term feminism. You don't have to be a woman in order
to
be honest. It's a concept. It's a way of thinking. But interesting to hear it come straight from you. Now, innovation, a lot of people talk about it. It's hard to explain it, I think, but you recognize it when you see it. So tell us about how you see innovation. Can you put it into words?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think to me, innovation is the process of, it's a process, and it's a process of completely rethinking the way that you do something. And not accepting as a given the way things are. So, this is, we live in a society right now where we don't have any kind of hub or organizing principles around the way that we support older adults in the community at all. So in that context, for me, innovation is how do we rethink, really creatively redesign and rethink and the systems that we have in place at the community level for supporting older adults in community. And it requires us to not accept as a given the way things are right now. And I think that to me is the most fundamental piece of it. That, you can't be satisfied with something that's not working well.
Do you come against resistance? Or do you find people are open arms wanting to hear this message?
Oh, so I think everyone recognizes that the status quo isn't working. But the resistance is not so much, I think, if you go and talk to an individual provider or policymaker, they understand intellectually. But the challenge with change and innovation, in particularly in this area, is that we're very reliant on public programs for financing. And whether it's financing for healthcare or whether it's financing for long-term care, those programs are very, very slow to support change. So if you're somebody who's a change maker, if you're an innovator, you're going to be frustrated to a certain extent because it isn't set up to support that. And so a huge part of what I do is try to work on the policy level to see if I can convince, policymakers to do things with the programs that maybe make them uncomfortable. And that's where you really meet the resistance. So
where does this fire in the belly come from?
Oh, my goodness. That's a good question. I never thought about that before. I grew up in a house, so my father is a scientist. And I think I just always grew up believing that there's enormous satisfaction in being part of something that's bigger than yourself. He was always working on problems that were, about how we live our lives on this planet. And I knew I was never going to be satisfied in working you know, on anything less than something I felt was really important. And I think also because he was a scientist, I mean, his whole orientation towards life was, how do you invent? How do you create? But it's, science is a really creative, more than anything, it's a creative endeavor. And so my sister actually is an epidemiologist, and she's working on redesigning family planning systems in Africa. So we're both very, I think, much oriented towards how do we make, sort of recreate systems for people that, so that they work better. And I think we get that from our dad. I think that's sort of, we just grew up with it.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your organization. How do you build this wonderful idea out?
So, just take a step back on your previous question. You know, I did want to just mention that I mentioned that my sister works in family planning and I work in aging, and why aging, you know, and why family caregiving. And I think I had a really close relationship with my grandparents growing up, and there's just something about the work that we did as a family supporting them in their old age that I just can't explain it. It just grabbed me at an early age, and it was just always what I wanted to work on. I mean, there are a lot of other really interesting issues. I'm interested in the environment. I'm interested in science. I mean, there's so many things, but this was just, there was never, almost never any question from the very beginning of my career that this was what I was going to work on, which is, even in undergrad, I studied psychology and I studied this life phase. And so the organization, so I left a big, so I had a job in a consulting firm for many, many, many years until 2014. And I really loved my job there, but I felt towards the end like there were just so many things I wanted to do that I wasn't able to do in that organization, and that I had to take a bet on myself and forge out on my own. And so I left and I started working with the SCAN Foundation out in California on a really big project that was very exciting to do with financing long-term care. And then just over time, two things happened. One was that this kind of people interested in this type of innovation, this type of work, started really kind of coming out of the woodwork. I think we're at this time right now where everything's about, this work is just going to explode. And so I have now working for me three people. One person who is exclusively helping me, you know, do research and analytics. Another person who is sort of part-time on analytics and part-time on content and communications. And another person who is 100% devoted to daughterhood. She is our daughterhood circle leader coordinator. Mm-hmm. So she interfaces with all of the people who come across our transom, and she's really the face of daughterhood, really. She's amazing. So I'm really lucky to have her. And that's our little team right now.
Mm-hmm. And are you co-located? Do you work remotely? How do you use technology in your own life?
Oh, yeah. So we're all based right here. Three of us are based here in DC and one is in Virginia. And we really just... We're on these are young people, and so they made me get on Slack. So we use Slack, which is super fun. It's almost like we're in the same office, you know. Of course, now I'm like, there comes messages are coming up with Slack, and then my kids are texting me, and people are emailing me, and I feel a little bit like, how am I ever going to get work done? But we do have a little office space downtown in DC where when we need to get together face to face, it's just one office and we all get together. We have a meeting, but we don't need a lot of overhead. So that's great. You know, we all have a lot of work to do and we're in touch with each other all day long. So we work from home, as you could probably hear from my dog in the background.
that's good. No, the tools certainly assist people like yourself who, you know, building big ideas and don't necessarily need the infrastructure, nor do you want the infrastructure. I mean, it becomes a huge financial commitment to be doing, working in traditional ways. You can be lean without going down that track. Okay, so let's wrap this up because I'm very mindful of the time and how busy you are. Is there anything coming up in the next, you know, little while? We'll be posting the blog early next week. So is there anything coming up that you would like to mention that might be pertinent to listeners?
I don't know that there is. You know, I am getting ready to go out and give a speech in Boise, Idaho this coming weekend, which is funny, a funny thing to be in Boise. But there, this is the crazy thing. There are 200 people coming to talk about, to attend, caregivers who are coming to attend a caregiving workshop. And I am giving the keynote speech. We're going to be talking about this framework that I have for thinking about yourself as a caregiver, and I call it the caregiver CEO. Because I think too many times caregivers, they get into this role and they're sort of thrust into it. It's unexpected. And they're kind of solving problems on a day-to-day basis, but not taking a step back and looking at the fact that they're in this new role and acknowledging, hey, I am the leader now, essentially, of almost kind of like a new enterprise, which is the care of my loved one. And how do I, if I think about myself as a CEO or as a leader, how do I bring all the resources that I need very consciously to bear on solving problems in this situation? And what do really great leaders do? How do great leaders run their organizations in ways that make them really effective and also keep them from being super stressed out? And so I think bringing some like leadership training to the role of caregiving is something I'm very interested in and I'm going to be experimenting with in this workshop. So I look forward to letting you know how that goes, because I think we want to empower people, make them feel like they're in control, because so much else feels outside of their control.
I think that's inspiring. I think that's a brilliant piece of creative thinking. And you have my complete endorsement on that. I think that's a brilliant way to approach. I can remember when my kids were at school, looking at the women who devoted their time to running school community events, thinking, yes, they could be heads of corporations. They're making chicken sandwiches. There is this mindset of, yeah, I completely agree with you. So I'm going to look forward to just, you know, shaping this interview a little bit.
Don't worry. Sure.
Much time into it, because it's beautiful just as it is. Thank you very much, Anne. It's been great to hear your words, and I look forward to following all your really exciting and creative
thank you. Yes, thank you for reaching out, and thanks for all your really good questions. Some of which I've never gotten before. I had to think about.
Okay, I'm happy about that. Bye for now. We'll let you know when we go online.
Bye. Okay, all right, bye.